I think before I start with the teaching, Tim gave me a prophecy yesterday, and it was neat because even as he's given the prophecy, Yahweh in Christ is inside me explaining what it means. And a lot of times when somebody's ministering, all of a sudden, it's almost like I kind of get taken someplace else. I start seeing things. So I don't even remember all the words he was talking about, but it was about me being like hydraulic fluid. You see it on the ground, it's useless. What is this thing? And we used to say when we coached football, man, you're just like water, the path of least resistance. And that used to be a put down. Face the resistance, but then he started talking about that the strength of hydraulics. When it's put in the right position, the pressure can move incredible things. And as I was receiving a prophecy I didn't ask for, thank you for doing that. I could see a visual of Yahweh's word being the pipes, and I'm the fluid. And because the hydraulic fluid without the right piping doesn't do anything. But if you put it in the right, with the right hoses and stuff like that, then the pressures will move it. And then all of a sudden, it started making sense. Sometimes we're going through some rough stuff, or sometimes we're called to do some very difficult things. Or sometimes we're going through a trial that doesn't look like anybody else's trial, and you're going to go, you might feel like you're being picked on, and maybe it's not Yahweh's will, but you got what it takes to get through of it. And then all of a sudden, I go, man, hydraulic fluid. So I get pressed on, I'm moving things. But anyways, I want to thank you for that. We're turning to the Gospel called Mark, chapter 10. There's a neat thing that when Dad and I went to the 50 hours of prayer for our country, as they're singing and doing all this praying, there's music that was repetitious over and over and over again, which is conducive to meditation. Over and over again. And here we were, believe it or not, Dad and I were on the front row.
No.
Following Dad right there. But as we're sitting there and the repetitious, and here I'm speaking in tongues, you're singing in tongues and praying, it was through then that I had breakthroughs again. And it used to be when it would be a Christian would go to festivals and stuff. It would be 2 or 3 days that something would break down and there would be an emotional breakthrough. Tears of joy. Something happened. And there's no explanation. I don't know any explanation in the scriptures. But it doesn't deny what happens when I put myself in those positions. And if that was the only fruit that we got from driving to Topeka, taking a day off of work, to get that intimate moment with Yahweh and Christ, absolutely worth it. And I would like to encourage all of us to not wait for those moments anymore. Get repetitious music. It's one thing we do. We're very, very, very good with the Word. But then a lot of these groups that aren't good with the Word, they're good with that. So I think we need to learn how to do that. Make a conducive environment here. And if Yahweh tells you to raise your hands, raise your hands. If He tells you to get down, get down. He'll tell you what to do. And you'll have those intimate breakthroughs. And all of us have had those things. And every once in a while we're going to go, I don't even realize I haven't had one until I get in another environment like that. And all of a sudden, with me, it's putting my hands up. First time I saw that, I mocked the people doing it. That doesn't do anything different. That's ridiculous. Why are you sticking your hands up? You're just trying to get attention. I know a little bit about that because I'm always wanting attention. And as I was mocking these people, my mind was sticking their hands up. I'd never seen it. It was ridiculous. Somebody called me out on it. Inside me, it was communicating. So it doesn't do anything to stick your hands up. I said, absolutely not. It's stupid. Okay, if it doesn't do anything, do it. I got called out. I went, did I do it? No. It shows how much of a coward I was. But then, I didn't do anything. All of a sudden, I didn't even remember the teaching. I was like, what's that all about? That wasn't cool. Then I went back to Campus Crusade for Christ. They did it again. All of a sudden, they started lifting up their hands again. I didn't want to look because I got called out. I think it was like the third week. If it doesn't do anything, you do it. And as I did, all of a sudden, tears and everything, walls broke down. And I was humiliated a little bit because these people were saying it. But what happened was I was going to go, you want to know what He's asking you to do? Go to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. And in my case, it was what I was withholding. But it's still the same thing. I'm on the front row with my dad. There's nobody here. I don't want to be sticking my hands up again. And I would have missed it. Yahweh doesn't like the haughty. What does he want? He wants your heart. And sometimes you want to know what's missing between those intimate relationships where you get stirred back up, where you're fired back up. Ask him. He'll tell you what to do. It might be something embarrassing. Who knows? You know, we got to get past that whole embarrassing thing, because I think about a husband and a wife. I'm single, but every spouse in every relationship, there's a spot where she's holding out on you. And there's a spot where you're holding out on her, right? We got truces. I don't do that. She doesn't do this, right? Well, sometimes we're holding out on Yahweh and Christ. And we're going to go before Christ. And the difference is, he wasn't holding out on us. And so whatever it is that he wants us to do, whether it makes us look foolish or whatever, let me walk the walk. And if I look like a complete idiot, if people reject me because you've encouraged me to do something, and what's the worst case anyways? You get embarrassed, everybody laughs at you, you do get attention, and everybody does think, oh, you're just looking for attention. Is that going to matter to him if you did that for him? Absolutely. Because he sees your heart going, no, it wasn't me. But I saw where you're coming at. It's just like a little kid giving me a macaroni necklace. I don't even want it. You made this for me? I'm going to wear that thing with pride. But anyways, Matthew chapter 10 is going to be a story similar to all that.
Mark or Matthew?
Mark, sorry. Mark chapter 10. Because just like with the music, where I got called out, you know, lifting my hands up and hearing my Lord and Savior goes, I'm going to call him out on this one. He'll call you out too. And actually, some of those will be the biggest breakthroughs. Where am I a hypocrite? Don't answer that. I don't want to answer that. I heard this guy talking today, and he was begging to be corrected. I go, I doubt it, because the guy that was teaching, he had so many errors, every word he comes out. I go, he might be saying that. He's doing a teaching on it, but I go, all of it should be like, correct me. Send somebody to hold me so I'm not a hypocrite. And then help me when it's a real big weakness that I'm having a hard time. Help me. I know I'm a big sissy. Of course, everybody thinks they're tough. Until we talk about the things we don't want to do. But here I was, we were at this 50 hours of prayer, and a pastor from Africa got up there and started doing a teaching. And basically, this is what I got when I was raising my hands in Topeka. Chapter 10, verse 46. Who would like to read?
Verse what?
We're going to start off in verse 46. And can you see the little title right above 46?
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
Blind Bartimaeus recovers sight.
Bar means son. Timaeus is his father. So what's his name? Blind son of Timaeus. Okay?
That's a great name.
Wait, just 46?
No, I'll tell you when to stop. You're going to go all the way down to 52, excuse me.
He came to Jericho, and he was journeying forth from Jericho, and his disciples... With a
considerable
multitude, the son of Timaeus, blind Bartimaeus, a beggar, was sitting beside the road. And hearing that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry aloud, saying, O son of David, Jesus, mercy on me. And many were rebuking him that he might hold his peace, but he so much the more was crying aloud, O son of David, have mercy on me, and come to a stand. Jesus said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him...
We'll pause there for just a second. And I tried to find YouTubes on this. I couldn't find anything good. It was actually kind of embarrassed compared to what, at least of what I imagined this whole situation. I remember hearing Mark Hankins do a teaching on this once. It makes me think of people following him, Hosanna, Hosanna, maybe laying out palm trees type thing. Here he is, but probably very orderly. Oh, you're it. You're this nice and orderly. And this guy starts probably screaming from the bottom of his stomach with all of his might. And he's a blind man. And it says he stopped Jesus Christ in his tracks. Was Christ stopping? No. He stopped Christ. So as far as we know, did Christ, Mashiach, Yehoshua, have a revelation to go help this guy? He was going this way. And this guy starts screaming out loud. You can imagine somebody at church. Oh, we're singing or whatever. And somebody starts screaming like a maniac. Oh, 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 you calm down. Don't worry, we got him. And so, but what happens? Yehoshua stops. probably very embarrassing moment for some of the people, especially those that knew Bartimaeus. And Yehoshua says, bring him there. Okay? We're going to see what happens.
They called by and said to him, take courage, rise, he calls thee. And he, throwing off his mantle, springing to his feet, came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what desirest thou I do for thee?
Real important. I mean, we look at these things. Can Yehoshua read our mind? Yeah. Because when he was going to, when he healed somebody, he could read their mind. He goes, what's easier, to forgive sins or to heal somebody? Could he say, yeah, so Yahweh could too. I didn't say that Yehoshua could always read their minds. A lot of times we're expecting our Lord and our Savior to be reading our minds and our heart, to meeting our needs, and we don't have some things met. And what did Yehoshua do to a blind man who's screaming out, a beggar? Why is he a beggar? Man, this is plain as day. He goes, what do you want? And so for each one of us also, hey, what do you want? What do you want? Well, you read through my diary. You know what I want. It's implied. No, you give me a list. What do you want this year? And so in this case, he asked that Bartimaeus, what do you want?
And the blind said to him, Rabboni, I may recover sight. And Christ said to him, go thy way. Thy faith has saved thee. And straightway he recovered sight and was following him in the road.
Here's Bartimaeus, I'd say Bartimaeus, but it's Bartimaeus. Do you think he regretted that? How long was he blind? I had eye surgery. My eyesight like digressed when I turned about 28 years old. I wore contacts, and after they cut on my eyes, I'm all doped up. I couldn't even really figure out anything was going on, except I could start reading things that I hadn't seen before. And here I am, this is right after the surgery, and I was amazed, even though it was all doped up on this stuff, I could see! what do you think went through this guy's heart? To get to see, and he would have missed it. He would have missed it. Who healed him? Who healed Bartimaeus?
His faith.
Very good. His faith. Excellent. And Melania, you weren't supposed to get that. You're going to say, and if Bartimaeus wouldn't have screamed out like, Yehoshua wouldn't have healed him. Yehoshua said it was his faith. What was missing in his healing? His faith. His faith. How many times have we been petitioning something and interceding on a matter, waiting patiently for something, and we're being so patient, and you're lucky I haven't given up. It's been a long time. Maybe I'm the problem. Like Andrew Womack did that once. He goes, if there's a problem in shipping and receiving, and Yahweh, the creator of the universe who made all this, is shipping, and I'm the receiver, I'm the problem. But in his case, his faith. As we were in this moment at Topeka singing, obviously I got some things in my heart that haven't been answered. All this to man, why doesn't this desire go away? Sean did it again. I asked Yahweh, I said, why do I have this desire? And Yahweh communicated to me, it was his desire. Oh, thanks a lot. I'm not getting it. It's not even my desire. Now here I have this lonely, empty seat at the table in my heart, right? And here I'm just being so patient. I'm so patient. I'm just waiting. I confess it every day. But as I was sitting there and this guy talked about blind Bartimaeus, the same Jesus Christ that called me out and says, hey, stick in your hands up, it won't do anything. Why don't you go ahead and do it? Just back that up. The same Lord and Savior who was inside, he goes, Aaron, would you scream out in a multitude of people to get what you're asking for? Would you do that right now? I know. I wouldn't. So you might think, oh, you're just so desperate. You're so desperate for this thing, Aaron. Bartimaeus was desperate for the thing. Would you do it right now? I'm sitting there going, I did a little bit, though. I did a little bit. But what was missing? So for all of us, I was called out again. What do you want? And would you cry out in public for it? I'm not that we're supposed to do that. But if you won't do what Bartimaeus did, because in his case what was missing was his faith. And what we do with this, I think it was kind of troubleshooting. Sometimes what's missing is something like that. And so in my case, I was like, I thought I was being so patient. And I confess these scriptures every day. I say these things. I do these things. I do all these different things. But man, I won't do that. I feel like meatloaf, man. I love you. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Galatians chapter 3. So he's come back to those desires or whatever those things that are missing in our life. Confirmation. All of us have something. I know all of us have something because it's just like Shauna's prophecy. Why? Because Yahweh is inside every single one of a believer. Energizing. He does both the energizing and the desiring in behalf of His good pleasure. He puts cravings in your heart that you don't want. Why? He wants it. And He wants to get you to do this. I think about hunters putting out salt licks and stuff to get animals to go where they want them to go. How many times is Yahweh doing the same thing for us? Just take this thing away from me. No. Grow up. I don't want to grow up. Of course you think you're a grown up. But Yahweh's not done with any of us. We're still His kids, and we're all a work in progress. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Okay. Now if ye are of Christ, or Mashiach, by consequence, ye are Abraham's seed, according to promise, heirs of Abraham. But I say, for as long as the time as the heir is an infant, he differed nothing from a servant, the Lord of all, but is under the guardians and stewards unto the day foreappointed of the Father. So also we, when we are infants, under the elementary principles of the world, we're held in servitude. But when the fullness of time came, Yahweh sent forth His Son, who came to be of a woman, who came to be under law, that them who are under the law He might redeem, that the sonship we might duly receive. And because ye are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Ruah of His Son into our hearts, exclaiming, Abba, O Father. So that no longer art thou a servant, but a son. And if heirs, an heir also through Yahweh. I used to really have an affection for the Hebrew people until my dad pointed out 1 John says anybody who rejects Christ as the Mashiach is Antichrist. So these people in the Middle East are going to say they're Antichrist. They say they're the seed of Abraham. And it could have been proselytes anyways, right? Yahweh says, we are the seeds of Abraham. What does that mean if you're the seed of Abraham? That I am entitled to His promises that are guaranteed to Abraham. How important was Abraham's life? The father of faith. How important was his life? What is his rewards? To have these children, if these children inherit His kingdom. Now Yahweh says, we are His heirs. Are we living like His heirs? Are we demanding things as an heir would? I had to sit down there with some people recently and go, look, you're the beneficiary of $620,000. Start acting worthy of $620,000. You don't even come to see your mom in her nursing home. I didn't say it that way because he's probably a future boss. But I had to talk to him. He goes, how could I be inheriting $620,000? I said, because I plan with your mom. And in my case, I did what my dad does with business. Because my mom's only got $400,000. I go, no, we did this. You're going to inherit $620,000, but this is revocable. You might want to start acting worthy of this inheritance. Of course, I didn't say it to a client that way. But any of us could act. He didn't even want to see his mom in a nursing home, right? That's not worthy of this $600,000. Are we acting worthy of what we are in Christ? Healing, deliverance, victories in all areas of our life? Or are we acting like servants, begging for Him to help us when nearly all the work's already been done? He goes, I've told you what to do. Do it! And Peter got out of the boat. And the thing about this, in this very, very short life that we have, this breath, it's going to be gone. We have so many few opportunities to fulfill our commitment to say, what Abraham did was worthy of me signing the beneficiary form. What Christ did, because without Christ I would not become an heir. I'm an heir and I'm a son because of what Christ did. Watch the passion of the Christ. How costly is that? He did that for us. So we're supposed to be living our life like 2 Corinthians 5:14 so that we should live and have our sight or healing or whatever it is. And now I'm probably chief of being complacent with certain areas. But to go, no, people should be looking at us and going, I want what you have. And sometimes Yahweh, what's needed, it says in here that it says because Yahweh sent forth the Ruah of His Son into our hearts, exclaiming, Abba, or Ab, Yahweh. Yeah, Christ is inside us crying to His Father, also petitioning with the desires inside your heart, going, I want you to get that bull, or that moose, or I want you to get that job, or to do that thing. You know what? All of us know what we're supposed to be doing, and it's His dreams and His desires. Or are we living like servants? Now, Bartimaeus, in my opinion, he acted like an heir of Abraham. Did he keep his mouth shut like everybody else told him to? No. Son of David. And what he did, and that should be our example. We skipped 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. That was the first scripture that I wrote down to my recollection. 18, 19 years old at college, dad sending tapes up. Living in a very ungodly area. And I heard John Lynn says, 1 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, or 2 Corinthians. He died for me, so I should live for him. I put it on my wall. But live for him, not just in writing, reading the word, speaking in tongues, prophesying, manifestations, but also in claiming heir to everything that's entitled to your roommate. What is he entitled to? Anything he wants. So if he asks you to do something, do it. Acts chapter 22. And I think we should be assertive, at least with me. A lot of times the things that he wants me to do are the things that are embarrassing. Why does it have to be embarrassing? That's like so embarrassing. Aaron, you you're so self-centered about your feelings, about how you feel. How does it feel to be Christ? And you're so worried about how other people look at you that you're going to withhold from him. Are you going to withhold from him because you're worried about how people think? I love that there was a bananas comedy hour. Here's Sinbad, the comedian. It's people are talking about certain things. He goes, stop worrying about what they think about you. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. Yeah. And these people over here, you're worried about it. They're not thinking about you either. They're thinking about themselves. It's in our nature, in our DNA, to think the whole world revolves around us, and everybody's living paranoid because you think everybody's thinking about you. They're not. They're thinking about themselves. You're thinking about yourself. Start thinking about Christ. And what does He want from you out of this relationship? And I was like, man, that's great. Acts chapter 22, verse 25. If somebody would read 25 through 28 for me. How about you, Mel?
Chapter
22, 25 through 28.
Oh, okay. When they had stretched him out with straps, Paul said unto the bystanding centurion, a Roman, and uncondemned, is it allowed you to be scourging? And the centurion heard that. He went unto the captain and reported, saying, what art thou going to do? For this man is a Roman. And the captain, coming up, said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yeah. And the captain answered, I, for a large sum, this citizenship is acquired. And Paul said, but I am even free-born. Straightway, therefore, they who were about to put him to a test withdrew from him. And even the captain was struck with fear and found out he was a Roman because he had him bound.
And so in this case, they're getting ready to scourge Paul, the Apostle Paul. And they did not know that he was a Roman. And then at the right time, Paul says, are you going to do this to a Roman? And they all shrank back going, I never heard anybody say yeah before. That sounded funny. He was yay. Yeah, yeah. I'm Roman. What's up? It was good though. But the reason why we're reading this is that this other Roman had not forgot at what cost it came for him to become a Roman. He says, he goes, look, for a large sum, the citizenship acquired. How do we get our citizenship? Calvary. Yeah. Christ, the passion of the Christ, you're looking at that going, man. Okay. And so, and where this is supposed to become a full circle is not about necessarily some of these other things, but it's about some of these desires in our heart that we want to give up on. We don't want to go there anymore. Because it looks pointless. But will we do it for Him? Whether it's healing or deliverance or whatever it is, would you do it for Him? And we're sitting there going to go, man, you're really asking me to do something that's going to be very embarrassing. Like Moses, who couldn't speak, to go before Pharaoh and be the spokesperson for Israel. Is this a good Pharaoh? No, he's going to kill him. And I'll be up there stuttering, why'd you have to ask me? And Yahweh asked Moses to do it. And going to go, so he's asking you to do something you're not good at? It's a perfect resume. And it could be that, at least in my time, some of the biggest breakthroughs that I've had, the reason why I was being disobedient, it wasn't out of wickedness or malice. It was just self-preservation. I don't want to be humiliated. And I wasn't sure if he was even communicating it to me. I don't know. But guess what? He doesn't go away. But if I hadn't been in those positions, he wouldn't have been able to call it up. So getting into those music with the repetitious music, meditation and stuff like that. Let's see here. And so whether it's healing or whatever it is, I was thinking, you know, a tree by its fruit, and we should be producing fruit that people go, that person believes they're somebody else. We should be walking taller. We should be acting differently. We should be demanding certain treatment and certain things, specifically with healings and speaking against storms and being the first person. Dad's real good at stuff like that, too. But people should know, go, who the heck does this person think they are? And going to go, that's an excellent question. You know, a tree by its fruit, that's Matthew 7. I think about Bartimaeus. If I could try to imagine this whole story, people walking by, forgetting about this beggar. He's blind. He's got his mantle. I don't know why Yahweh told us he threw off his mantle, but he put it there for some reason. So what's going on with this? And in my opinion, maybe Bartimaeus thought, this is the only shot I got. Is he ever going to walk by me again? Had he heard about this guy, maybe? This is it. Maybe this is the only shot I got. Which would make sense to me. Hey, he's gone. He's passing. It's too late. He's already leaving. Maybe he started raising his voice, because it was the only shot he had, possibly. That's how I always imagined that. Well, let me ask you this question. When's Christ coming back? When's your last shot at that healing? And if you're not going to take the healing or whatever it is for yourself, do it for Him. Is He worthy of it? I'm going to go, when's He coming back? I don't know. But I do know that when He does come back and I get to meet Him face to face, that on those areas that even if I didn't succeed, He's going to say, I saw what you're doing. I saw you working on it. You never gave up on that. Aaron, what, or Israel, or Chuck, why didn't you ever give up on that? I wanted to give up on it. But your word says that I'm heir, that you paid for this, and that I'm a beneficiary of these things. So because of the cost of this thing came, I couldn't give up on it. For your sake, He's going to go, well done. And when is it going to be our last day to capitalize on these things? We have no idea. And we can be living like a Bartimaeus going, this might be the last shot we got. Not that he's walking away, but he's coming back. That's it. Okay. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these words and for speaking through us and helping me not be a hypocrite. And if you ask me to do something embarrassing, I thank you that you're working inside me to realize that all that should be focused on is your eyes looking down upon me like a spotlight. That's it. Let everything else just disappear. And whatever you ask me to do, you are surely worthy of it. And we thank you for helping all of us fulfill those things. My sons and daughters, know that I have wonderful, exceedingly abundant patience. I do. I do. Especially in the areas of your life where there's difficult things and you've tried it, and I understand trial and error and failure. But I want you to know that I don't give up. So you don't have to give up either. And I've written in ink lives of people who had failure, at least it would appear to be failure in their mind. But after 25 years, Abraham had Isaac. Moses, after 40 years, what did he do? So I want you to know that I got dreams and desires inside there. And don't be so hard on yourself. Do it for me. And that's it. Amen.